May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 1068. Jesus, full of all compassion, hear thy humble suppliant's cry. Let me know thy great salvation. See, I languish, faint and die. Hymn 1068.
Thank you. read from God's holy word from the Gospel according to John and chapter 2. John chapter 2. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the changers of money sitting. When he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables. And he said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence. Make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing thou that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, in the feast day, many believed in his name, when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Let us pray. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray now for thy help as we come again before thee. O Lord, that thou wouldst come in our midst, by the Spirit we pray. Work in our hearts, we pray. We do pray that we may feel thy touch. O Lord, that thou wouldst speak unto us. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. O Lord, we do need that thou shouldst speak. O Lord, by the Spirit do speak unto us those words of power, those words of life, those words of instruction, of reproof, of blessing, of direction, of comfort, of consolation. O Lord, we do so need thy help. Without thee we can do nothing, and indeed feel it very keenly in the ministry. Without thee we can do nothing. O Lord, do increase our faith, we pray, that we may come by precious faith. For indeed, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. O Lord, do save us, we pray, from sinning in those places and times when we should be giving thee the praise and the honour. O Lord, do deliver us from a faithless religion. O Lord, do deliver us from fleshly religion, an irreverent religion lacking that godly fear. O Lord, do guide us, direct us, we pray, unto thee, O Lord Jesus Christ. For we do so need thy help. That, O Lord, thou art the helper of the helpless. Thou art a good shepherd. Thou art so good and so loving. And, O Lord, at those times of need, thou dost answer prayer. Those times of sorrow, thou dost give comfort. O Lord, that indeed it is true then, it is true now, and ever will be underneath of the everlasting arms. Those arms of love and of compassion, that thou dost take up the little children in thine arms and bless them. O, that we may have that faith of a little, as it were, that childlike faith, that we may receive thee as a little child. O Lord, we pray, help us then. Bless our friends here that are gathered both from here and neighbouring causes. And, O Lord, how we do need thy rich blessing to rest upon them and upon us. O Lord, do help our brethren, the deacons here, in their responsibility and calling. Do, O Lord, grant that there may be a godly increase, a building up. There may indeed even be those from this village and neighbourhood who might come. O Lord, that they may be wrought upon by the Spirit to so desire to worship thee, to hear thy word, to bow before thee, to forsake the beggarly elements of this world. But, O Lord, how true it is that just because we are stood here in the place of worship does not mean that we are separate from the world. O Lord, do deliver us, we pray, from hypocrisy. And O Lord, thou knowest our carnal hearts, the old man of sin, which does so long after fleshly, vain, vile things, foolish things. O Lord, do renew in us a right spirit. Create in me a clean heart. O Lord, we do need thy grace and mercy to deliver us from hypocrisy, from having a form and an appearance of religion, but there's no love, no desire to follow thee. O Lord, we do pray. Grant us that grace, then, we beg, and do speak unto us, we pray. Grant thy blessing, we beg, upon thy word as it goes forth throughout this world. O Lord, many in places of much suffering, of poverty and even famine at this time. O Lord, we do pray that thou hast have mercy. As we hear of millions on the point of starvation, on account of war and trouble. O Lord, indeed, we pray for mercy. O Lord, that help may be given, but O Lord, that thou hast be pleased to grant peace, even in those places of such violence and bitter hatred, enmity, false religion. O Lord, that even there that the light of the gospel may shine. O Lord, there may be that a deliverance from darkness unto light, from hatred unto love. From pride, proud self-righteousness to a humble coming before thee, O Lord Jesus. O Lord, do help thy one true church in the midst of persecution, trouble, conflict, poverty and disease. O Lord, that thou would help them. Do help any that are imprisoned for the testimony of thy name. But, O Lord, bless thine own word that it goes forth. O Lord, do appear for the work of translating thy word, publishing it, distributing it, that, O Lord, thou would speak by the Spirit through the written word and shine forth, as thy word said, as the psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. O Lord, we pray, grant that help to Trinitarian Bible Society and all others who would likewise labour, that, O Lord, that provision may be made to go forth in such a vital work to thine honour and glory. O Lord, we do pray for the orphans, the fatherless, the children. O Lord, that thou hast provided for them. And, O Lord, we who are gathered here do be with the little ones, the children, the young people, to help them in all their concerns and needs. O Lord, do help them in this time of growing up, of studying, learning, going forth into work. And those relationships. O Lord, we read here that Jesus was there and gave that favour and blessing upon that wedding, that marriage in Cana. And O Lord, do guide our younger friends in these things. They may know thy favour and thy blessing. And, O Lord, we do beg that thou wouldst help them. Do help any that are in trouble, in difficulty, in distress. Do be with any in bereavement, in disappointment. O Lord, or in sickness, or in weakness. O Lord, we do pray that thou mightest be pleased to help. But, O Lord, be with us. O, we do need thy help in coming to thy word. O Lord, we need the anointing of the Spirit. O Lord, that thou wouldst give us a hearing ear, an understanding heart. O Lord, that true faith to walk with thee. O Lord, we do pray for thy mercy upon our land. O Lord, that may be that pouring out of the Spirit, a granting of true repentance, revival, new life, we pray. In the church is that new life. O Lord, do deliver us from those things that are of the flesh. But, O Lord, that we may be in the Spirit, as we do pray now, especially to be in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And that we may see glorious things as the Apostle John did. To look up and behold a door opened in heaven. To hear thy word and know the entering in of the Spirit. And to be lifted above. And to be carried in the Spirit into thy presence and to see thy glory. That thou dost rule and thou art upon the throne. And, O Lord, to see the heavenly prospect that awaits. O Lord, may we be encouraged and helped. We do then commit all these things into thy hand and ask thy mercy in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn number 593. Jesus is a mighty Saviour. Helpless souls have here a friend. He has borne their misbehaviour, and his mercy knows no end. O ye helpless, come and on his grace depend. Hymn 593.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us in turning to his holy word. And I'd refer you particularly to John chapter 2 and the second part of verse 5. John chapter 2 and the second part of verse 5. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. The full verse reads, his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he, that is Jesus, saith unto you, do it. Here we have the account that is written for our instruction, as is all scripture. The account of Jesus at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. And truly, wherever Jesus is, there is a blessing to those who receive him by faith. Indeed, it is our great privilege as we gather together in his name. We have that promise that where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And would to God that we had a greater sense and understanding of that as we gather together in his name and his house, that the Lord Jesus Christ is here in the midst by the Spirit. And that we have the word before us, the written incarnate word. There's that union. The scriptures and the Lord bear one tremendous name. The written and the incarnate word in all things are the same. And may the Spirit give us ears to hear, give us an understanding heart. May we see here the blessing that came through the presence of Jesus and the word of Jesus, the word of the Lord. And that is such a simple but profound truth. The blessing that flows through the Lord's presence. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. How we should seek that we have the Lord's presence. The Lord's presence in our assemblies. The Lord's presence in our homes. Indeed, the privilege of all true believers, the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Christ dwells in each believer's heart by the Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It should be our great desire to have the Lord's presence. And where the Lord is present, surely there is a blessing. Everyone that is receives him by precious faith, there he leaves a blessing. Here we have this marriage in Cana. The Lord was there. And by his word, there is a blessing. But we come further here in this marriage feast, there was an evident lack of wine. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto them, they have no wine. Mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. There's a lack. And Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Just look very briefly at that verse. In no way is our Lord showing any disrespect whatsoever to Mary, his mother, according to his incarnation. Our Lord is perfect, sinless, holy. There can be no imperfection in anything that he did, said, thought, pure, holy, undefiled. So what is the significance here in verse 4, when Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? It is clearly indicating to us that our Lord is emphasizing that he is not the carpenter's son or the son of Mary, but he not Mary's son, but Mary's Lord. Showing forth that he is Lord. In no way is our Lord beholden to any man or woman. He is Lord. Clearly teaching that our Lord is not just doing this because of a petition from his mother, but indeed he is Lord. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. We also have upon the cross our Lord using similar language. Woman, behold thy son. Referring to John, the apostle. This strikes, as it were, with a blow of the two-edged sword against that blasphemous doctrine of the worshipping of Mary, the mother of Jesus. That blasphemous doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church and others in exalting Mary above Christ. But when we read God's holy word, these things are written here for a reason, that we may know that it is Christ who is Lord. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And so we read here, there were these six water pots of stone, large water pots. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. Well, they might have thought, well, what use is that? We need wine. But we see here there was no obedience, and there is a lesson unto us. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. For our Lord, in that which he speaks, he is ever gracious, ever wise. There can be nothing whatsoever amiss in his commands, his invitations, his precepts, pure and perfect. That which the Lord does speak is good, truly good. Whatsoever state we're in, and whatsoever he should command unto us, it is good. And we see here the blessing came through obedience. We might look at it the other way. We don't receive blessings by disobedience and rebelling. Well, I'm setting forth some very simple truths, but they're so necessary. So often we can miss the most fundamental basic things in our religion. I was only speaking to the children this afternoon on the subject of tradition. How easily our religion can be taken up with what this man said, what that man said, what the fathers said, what this minister said, what that church does, what the denomination does, all these things that are, they may be right things, but what saith the scripture? Oh, that our attention was given unto what the Lord says, the word of the Lord, above all things. And what shipwreck churches like the Church of Rome have made in following tradition over the generations, turning what was originally the truth into what is grievous error and blasphemy. And mankind, fallen man, as we read the history of from Genesis through to the New Testament, and indeed we can read it in church history since, how fallen man has that awful tendency to corrupt everything that passes through him, through his hands. God made man upright, but he sought out many inventions. We have that terrible propensity to corrupt things that come through our own hands. We have need time and time again to go back to the fountainhead, to the Word of God, the pure, corrupted Word of God, the more sure Word of prophecy. That's why that we have the Word of God before us. That's why we encourage all to have the Scriptures open before them, to search the Scriptures, like the Bereans, they searched the Scriptures whether these things were so. They were more noble, that word signifies a better birth. Indeed, it is a sign of the new birth, where there is that earnest seeking of Christ, the Word, of the Scriptures, the written Word of God, in union with Christ, the living Word. As I've oft said with Saul of Tarsus, when the Lord shone suddenly in his life, there are the two first real prayers of Saul recorded. There's been many a prayer as a Pharisee, but it was not a prayer of faith, not a prayer in the name of Jesus. Without that, prayers cannot be acceptable before God. But now the Lord had appeared. The Lord had shone. He was carrying the words of the writings of the high priests, those great men in Jerusalem in the temple, the authority to go and persecute the church, even to distant cities like Damascus, to hail, as it were, to force men and women into prison, simply because they worship Jesus. But when the Lord shone, those human, sinful writings, we hear no more of them, utterly to be despised and forgotten. As it were, that light shone and they are utterly gone. No more do we hear of the authority of the scribes and the chief priests in Jerusalem. But we have those first true prayers of Saul. Firstly, who art thou, Lord? Lord, who art thou? And the Lord said, I am Jesus. It was very clear now to Paul who was speaking, that it was Jesus, the Word of God, who was speaking to him. Indeed, there is a need, is there not, that our soul should be awakened and indeed kept alive, that we should hear, when we hear the Word of God, that it is the Word of God, that it is the Lord. We should, be instructed like the young child Samuel, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I fear at times we can get into the spirit of going to hear what this minister or that minister says. Go to an anniversary or a meeting or somewhere to hear what Mr. So-and-so is going to say. But have we come to hear what the Lord says? Well, minister of the gospel is to preach the word of the Lord, but we won't get a blessing by going to hear what men say. We want the word of the Lord. And to be believed, because it is the word of the Lord. And anything else is to be cast out as dung and dross, sifted out and cast out. It's only that which is of the word of God that we should receive. The rest is chaff. And the second prayer was this: Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? There was that cry, that newborn cry of humble obedience. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Oh, and these servants, they did that which Jesus had commanded them. Although to their own reason, could not understand why. That might be may well be the case with you. I've known it the case with myself in my life. Sometimes when the Lord has spoken, we do not understand why, but how it behoves us to, in humble obedience, to hearken to his word and to follow him. But in obedience, there we see the blessing. And that water miraculously turned into wine, and not just wine, but the best of wine. And the governor of the feast called the bridegroom. So evidently it was a practice that the best wine was provided first. And by the time that the guests had drunk much and their faculties were impaired somewhat, then it would be the worst wine would be brought out, hoping that they wouldn't notice. And the governor, not knowing where this wine had come from, compliments the bridegroom. Say, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. Truly that which is from the word of God is good, very good. And indeed, the blessing through the receiving of the word of God in an obedient and humble heart. This subject is one that has struck me of late, how much from really Genesis to Revelation. The importance of obedience. And I'm not meaning here a legal obedience. Indeed, we know that we are utterly fallen, utterly unable. If I was to stand here and exhort a legal obedience, it would be utterly futile. But how we do need to be brought before us this need that we should follow Jesus and his word. And by faith, and if there is any world lacking in terms of faith, well, does not the word tell us? They came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. And is that not a word unto us to come unto Jesus? Lord, increase our faith. If we feel our unbelief, and who does not? Do we not have it set before us that man who cried, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And the Lord is very compassionate to hear. But may we strive after this, that we should follow him. But truly, there will be no blessing in disobedience. There cannot be. In rebellion against him. Rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. It's a very serious matter. I would to God that we laid it to heart more. When the Lord commands, how great a matter it is. And the Spirit should open our eyes to see that it is a great matter, the word of the Lord. And to see the goodness of God. And to see the blessing that flows through Jesus the Word. We see here that it was by the Word that came that miracle. The water was turned into the sweetest and best wine. Again, we may make a comparison in the book of Exodus, the first of the plagues upon the Egyptians was the turning of the water of the river Nile into blood, and all the other waters, that water was turned into blood. They could not drink it. The first of the plagues, the wrath of God. The magicians, they had some power to do likewise. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. But we don't read of any magician being able to turn the water into the best of wine. It is interesting with the magicians, there were certain things they could do, but when it came to the lice and the plague of lice, that was something they had to say, this is the finger of God. Whatever power the devil and his servants are given, and they are given a power. It is far eclipsed by that of Christ, of the Lord. But here, with Jesus, there the water was turned into wine, not into blood, in judgment, but into wine. And that which was drunk, and it was sweet. Now indeed we deserve the wormwood and the gall. But it was the Lord Jesus Christ who drank the bitter cup, that which we deserve on account of our sins to drink. But how the Lord drank of that bitter cup, and that we, believing by precious faith in repentance, that cup that we drink, well, we have that fellowship with him and his sufferings, but that cup that we do drink in the Spirit, and that which we should drink eternally is the wine of the kingdom, that sweetness of the love and mercy of God. And it is all of grace. It is a miracle of grace. Like this miracle here, the water turned into wine. And it's a miracle, and by the word of the Lord, by Jesus. Oh, that the Lord would so work by his Spirit as we read God's word, as we come in the ministry, come to hear the ministry, that we may receive of that sweetness. We may see that there is more than just paper and ink here, but there's the precious word of God that brings life and light and liberty, and work such a miraculous work in the heart and our lives. Oh, what countless numbers there are, well, a number known to God, but as far as we see, countless, who have known of the sweetness of God's love in Christ Jesus, who have known of his mercy and of his grace. There are many examples in Scripture of those who were so unworthy, but the Lord showed such love unto their souls how many there are that have been in this place of a want or lack, in great need. The Lord has spoken. The Lord has given that word of direction, that word of blessing, that word of that touch. The Lord has come, the Lord has spoken. By faith we've been given that strength to venture upon him and tasted of the sweetness of his goodness. Well, coming back to what I mentioned at the Sunday school this afternoon about tradition, one thing for sure, we won't get any the sweetness of the Lord through tradition. Indeed, a very dry wine that is indeed. It won't be the life and the liberty there. Unless it be that tradition which is spoke of with Holy Scripture, which is that which the Apostle Paul declared faithfully of God's word. If we follow that which the Lord has spoken, has passed down unto us, there is a blessing there. But if it's the tradition of sinful man, even gracious men, but yet we err to follow them, but rather needs be that we should follow Christ, follow the word. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Well, we spoke this morning concerning that verse, and yet there is room. Well, we read in Holy Scripture where the Lord speaks those words, come. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Indeed, how should we come? Well, when the Lord Jesus entered into his earthly ministry, after his temptation in the wilderness, we read in Mark's Gospel, now that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Well, if we are to come, it must be in repentance. It must be in faith, believing the gospel. That word means good news. Coming in hope, where there is faith, there must be hope. Where there is true hope, there must be faith. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. Well, we have two aspects here. One is that call. That call of the precious everlasting gospel. There, oh, that we be given ears to hear, understanding hearts, that true sorrow over sin, which is a repentance. And those new desires from the work of the Spirit within, that we should come in repentance, sorrowing over our sins and laying hold by faith of a precious Jesus. What a blessing there was when Moses pointed to Christ. When in that day in the wilderness, and they'd murmured against the Lord, and the Lord had sent in his righteous indignation fiery serpents, and many of them had died, and many more were dying. And Moses was commanded to the Lord to make a brazen serpent, to raise it up upon a pole. And he bid those that were dying to look and live, and every one that looked lived. Indeed, our Lord Jesus Christ. He said in that inspired, infallible commentary upon that part of Holy Scripture in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. There's that woman with the issue of blood. She sought after many, many ways of trying to be relieved of that. That issue of blood was not just a physical debilitation, but it resulted in a permanent defilement under the law, that she would not be able to come to the temple or to the company of any others that were clean. Permanently defiled. She sought after the money, various cures, but to none effect. But then she heard of Jesus. And that, as it were, the voice of the Spirit within to draw her unto Jesus. And our Lord speaks those words, "Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, but I will give you rest. Come, O everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." And that woman, she came in obedience to the heavenly calling. We have indeed Cornelius likewise, of that calling of the angel who brought forth the word of God. And he was not disobedient unto the vision. Peter likewise, others who heard the call of God. And there they received the blessing. How much more so that word enforced with heavenly power, "Come unto me. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Well, we read of Peter on the Lake of Galilee, when they saw the Lord walking upon the waters that night. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Indeed, that is a most vital word in connection with the call of our Lord. We may have many fears. Gideon did. Moses did. But the Lord spake, "Go in this thy might. Have not I sent thee?" Where the Lord calls, in this case, and so in the deliverance of Israel, or whether it be in the ministry of the word, or whatever other calling it may be, the Lord most graciously speaks this: "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." We can be filled with many fears, many reasonings, many calculations. How shall it be? But if the Lord has called us, it shall be well. The Lord is faithful who hath promised. The Lord calls us to go through difficult pathways. And it is through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom. It will be well. It is with the righteous well. The Lord is good, very good. If the Lord calls, like those disciples who are called into go out two by two to preach the gospel. Afterwards, the Lord said unto them, lacked ye anything? And they said nothing. The Lord provided all. The Lord is faithful. But to come back to Peter that night, the Lord said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. In a manner of speaking, I've known something a little of that, and I know others have too. As it were, the Lord calls us to come out of the, as it were, out of the boat. Human reasoning say, well, the boat's the safe place to be. You can feel the bottom to it. How am I going to walk on the sea? How am I going to walk in this way? Well, we read that where Peter was looking to Jesus, there he was walking upon the water, and so it will be with us. Whatever calling that seems to defy reason, like those who have been called to give up their careers, give up jobs, give up other positions, whatever it is, forsake all and follow him, defies reason, logic says, whatever you're doing, fools, madmen, they may say. But while ever our eyes are upon Jesus, we cannot sink and be lost. We see Peter, though, when he saw the wind boisterous, his eyes were upon the wind, the waves, beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And there we see the mercy of the Lord. But there's a lesson here. When the Lord says, come, follow me. As the hymn writer said, bow down in sense and reason, let faith only reign here. It is very true. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. But mark, make sure it is the Lord that is speaking. There is that warning, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of the Lord. And this we know from Holy Scripture. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, will never lead and teach or call contrary to God's holy word. Where the Lord is speaking, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Well, we have those great callings, those who are in the Old Testament called into very strange pathways, but the Lord is with them in it all. Even Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Called to stand and not bow down before that golden idol. Seemed utter foolishness to do that before the very king Nebuchadnezzar. But yet they feared God rather than man. And here we have need of that fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of man brings a snare. And most definitely it does here when we hear the word of the Lord. It's not the place for the fear of man. Oh, the Lord, we should pray that the Lord should deliver us from that. That we should have that godly fear. What, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do, and that grace to do it? Blessed are they that hear the word of the Lord and keep it, saith the Lord. Indeed, we have that parable of the man who built, well, two men who built. One built upon the rock and one built upon the sand. Two men. One saved and the other lost when the storm came. And what was the difference? What was the same? They were both building. In one sense, we're the same. We're building in our lives and what we do. What they had in common was that they both heard the word of God. Both of them, the one who was building upon the sand, heard the word of God. Like the one who built upon the rock. But the difference was this. The one who was building upon the rock followed the word. The one who built upon the sand, he heard and did not keep the word. And one thing is for sure, the word of God is true. That when the storm comes, and it surely will, the storm came on both of them. The storm didn't just come upon the man who built upon the sand, it came upon the one who was built upon the rock. And some people's manner of religion is that if we are following Christ, everything will be rosy, health, wealth, prosperity. But the word of the Lord is very clear, the storm came upon them both. And just because we're following Christ, we will not be exempted from those storms of life. But this we will be exempted from is utter destruction. If our hope is built upon Christ, then we're built upon the rock. Then we shall stand in his strength in that great, well, the storms of life, but moreover, that great storm when we shall pass from this time to eternity. But if we have only heard the word and have not kept it, that storm will come, and well, what a great the fall thereof. How indeed that great the fall will be on that day when we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The Lord said how more terrible it'll be for various of the places where he had preached and they're not believed. Where he had performed mighty works and they're not heeded. What those works spoke, testifying that he was indeed the Messiah, the Son of God. How much more terrible it would be for various places he names, like Chorazin, and than Sodom and Gomorrah on that great day. Indeed, that's something that we must lay to heart. How much more terrible it shall be if we have sat week after week, month after month, year after year, and heard the word of the Lord and care nothing for these things. Or think we can serve God and mammon. We can have two masters. I know in our country we're allowed to be dual nationals, but be a British citizen and a citizen of another country at the same time. But when we're talking about the kingdom of God, there's no such thing as a dual national there. We're either in the kingdom of God, or we're still in the kingdom of Satan, his servants. You either serve God or the devil, friend of the world or the friend of God. We can't have it both ways. So may we have that grace from on high to hear the word of the Lord and to keep it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Well, those who have followed God's word, and God's holy commands, being called a fool 1,000 times over. It might even be by their relatives, friends, work colleagues, even been from those within their church and congregation. But let God be true and every man a liar. May the blessing be through obedience by faith in our precious Saviour. Was that call to follow him. He called the disciples, follow thou me, and they forsook all and followed him. Following him in that need of that, following him in baptism, that following him the Lord's table. The word ordinance, it's a command of authority. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Mind you, it's what he says. There are churches that will go around telling people when they should be baptised, and the minister says they do this and do that. We need the Lord to speak. If the Lord has spoken, we will never prosper unless we give good heed and to follow him. I once heard of somebody who went to receive an honour from King George VI. It was either during or just after the war, for an act of great gallantry that merited that he should receive the award from the king himself. And King George VI had a speech impediment, and he was naturally a more shy, retiring man, and there's every evidence he was a gracious man from his testimony and example that he set. But This man who was to receive this award of gallantry had never met the king before, had never been to a palace before, and was rather overawed by it. And the king there, in his regal attire, and the king asked him what he had done to deserve such an award. And being rather overawed by everything, he didn't hear very carefully what the king said. And he said, I beg your pardon, could you say it again? And he was hustled away by the courtiers who rebuked him and said, you don't ask the king to say something twice. Well, This is recounted to me by a friend of this person who's no longer alive, but and somebody who wasn't meaning it in any spiritual teaching whatsoever. But I thought afterwards, yes, there's a teaching there. It behoves us not to say to the Lord to say something a second time. If we shouldn't be saying unto the king to speak again. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. When the King of Kings has spoken, and we have heard his word, and we've heard it clearly. Leaving aside the poor man who couldn't quite hear what King George VI had said, but we've heard the word of the Lord before us. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And the Lord will not fail. The Lord is most gracious to provide everything that we have need of in the way. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £745, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening. And next Lord's Day, there'll be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. And Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach. And the evening service will be at 6 o'clock, God willing. There will be a meeting of the chapel trustees tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. And our friends at Oakington hold their Trinitarian Bible Society service on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 191. Friend, you may not be able to say that Jesus has shown you the beauties of his face, the blessings of his grace. May you be able to sing with the prayer that he will reveal himself to you. Hymn 191. Oh, why did Jesus show to me the beauties of his face? Why to my soul did he convey the blessings of his grace? Hymn 191.
Thank you.
do grant us thy blessing as we part. Do indeed bless thine own word. Do forgive that which has been spoken amiss. That, O Lord, bless thine own word. And now, O Lord, do take us on our way in safety. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.